on House Bill 5050 and House Bill 5051. Waters Resource Department, today is our day for public testimony. The good chair, Senator Devlin, is out of caught in traffic someplace coming down on I-5 or somewhere. And so we can start with this. First of all, folks, we have signed up with John Jackson with the Water Resource Commission. Chair of the commission, I think. Not the chair. On the commission. Please introduce yourself and proceed, sir.
Thank you very much, Acting Chair and members of the subcommittee. I'm John Jackson. I'm one of the commissioners on the Water Resources Commission. I am the Northwest Region representative on the commission. That region extends from the Pacific Ocean to the top of the Cascades, from the Columbia River to just a few miles north of Eugene. It's the most populated region of all regions of on the commission, and we have all the recognized uses of the water operating in our region. I'm here representing the Water Resources Commission to encourage you to adopt the governor's recommended budget for Water Resources Department. And if I could take just a couple of minutes, I'd like to give you some of the context for that support. I live in rural Washington County near Cornelius, Oregon, which is between Hillsborough and Forest Grove. I own some rural property. A little bit of the context for our support of the Water Resources Department budget. We held a retreat a year ago this month, the commission with a number of the staff. And out of that day-long retreat came a number of realizations. The very first one and the most important one that we had was that realization that Oregon doesn't have a vision for the future of its water resources, both groundwater and surface water. And two, the water resources staff can only conduct crisis management of the water resource. The next crisis that comes through the door is the next thing that they have to deal with. And this comes from budgets that have been cut over the last years in the face of rising demand for water in the state and the expectations that the public brings along with that request for applications and such, which increases their workload. So the staff that are there really don't have the time to think about the future of water, and let alone chart a path for protection and restoration of the water resource that we currently have. And it comes primarily the restoration for those resources, beneficial uses that during critical periods that are needed, the water is either very limited or is not there anymore. For others that might want to participate in the use of that water. For me, when I came out of that retreat, the Water Resources Department doesn't have the resources to do the job that we, the citizens of the state of Oregon, have entrusted that department to do in the management of the public's water. The water in this state belongs to the public, and we've asked them to do that job. So looking to the future is a very vital piece of that puzzle. We ended the day with two commitments as a commission. The first one was to take an active role in the formulation of the budget and the option packages. The package that you are working with, the commission has its fingerprints on that document. We reviewed it a number of times, asked a lot of questions of the staff, and they came back with some good answers. The second commitment we made was to be proactive about Oregon's water future. We proposed, with the help of the staff of the Water Resources Department, the Water Supply and Conservation Initiative, which is one of the policy and option packages as part of the budget. We also formed a subcommittee of the Water Resources Commission, made up of three members of the commission, that is working to propose a course of action to ensure Oregon's water future. It's the process that we will use, and then we'll be turning to a lot of the stakeholders to ask them to help us, the commission and the department, to chart that course for management of the water in the future. So on behalf of the Water Resources Commission, I would like to encourage you to strongly support the governor's recommended position, our budget for the Water Resources Department. We strongly support it. We urge you to adopt it so that Oregon, with the help from Water Resources Department and others in this state, can turn the corner and begin dealing with the future of Oregon's water resources needs more than what we've been able to do in the past. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify before you today, and I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Questions for Mr. Jackson? Yes, Senator Nelson.
Thank you for the work you've done. When you guys are looking at the needs, what are your projections that you're basing your needs upon for, like, population, demand for water? Is that some things that the commission talks about?
Chair, Senator Nelson, we haven't gotten that far, but you hit on all those things that we will be putting numbers to. I think the main point that I'd like to leave with you in answering your question is that we have to look to the future and what the water needs are for Oregon 5 years out, 10 years out, 50 years out, both surface and groundwater. Ballot Measure 37 is going to present quite a challenge for our groundwater in this state, and we need to be able to figure out what those needs are going to be in coming years, and also the surface water needs for all the in-stream uses and more out-of-stream uses that are coming. But those numbers will be things that will get generated as we work with our stakeholder groups in fleshing that out. But you're right on target with where we're trying to go.
Anything additional? Seeing none, thank you very much, Mr.
Thank you very much for your time.
I'm going to follow a process here of bringing two people up at a time. Sometimes they'll be associated with one another, sometimes they will not. So the next two up are Peggy Lynch and Jim Azzamano. And Ms. Lynch, if you could start off. And please limit yourself to 3 to 5 minutes each.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Peggy Lynch. I'm representing the League of Women Voters of Oregon, which is a grassroots, nonpartisan political organization that encourages the informed and active participation of citizens in government in order to build better communities statewide. League positions on water policy and planning stress providing incentives for water user conservation, establishing a mechanism for management of water, coordinating planning for both the use of both surface and groundwater, as well as requiring a complete inventory of the water resources. The League, while recognizing that all water users should share in the costs of water management, also believes that the state should be the primary fiscal responsibility for water resource management. League positions also stress the interdependence of land use planning and water planning at all levels of government. And I might say I enjoyed listening via tape the Measure 37 fairness hearing on the 13th. Fair and effective regulation is the result of good planning. The League would like to see Water Resources Commission explicitly expanded to recognize that all of Oregon's water, surface and groundwater, belongs to all Oregonians and should be fairly allocated and protected for current and future generations beyond the narrow mission that you see in their booklet today. We support Key Performance Measure 4, gauging stations, KPM 5, well monitoring, and KPM 6, making data sets available to the public, all require additional staff and program support to meet legislative targets. We particularly support policy option package increases for stream flow data collection, monitoring, and water management, a water management measurement specialist, and conservation measures. We, of course, also support the agency fee bill because we do believe that fees are appropriate. We support budget additions that provide the agency with knowledge about the resource availability, but also about its present use. Hydrologic data as well as water use data are prerequisites to both planning and to equitable regulation. The environmental and economic future of Oregon's citizens depend on this knowledge. Thank you.
Any questions from Ms. Lynch? Seeing none, Mr. Azzamano.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Jim Azzamano. I'm the governor's staff member. I'm the advisor on the Office of Rural Policy. I staff a committee of 10 citizens and 4 legislators. We've been meeting in the last couple of years throughout rural communities in Oregon and monthly instead of quarterly, in order to listen to the needs and issues of many of the communities. Water has pretty much stood out in almost every single one of those discussions perhaps with the exception of Astoria. We had a significant meeting called Rural Oregon Day in Pendleton last May, in which we had a forum to discuss the many policy matters that affect the economic sustainability of rural Oregon, topics of education, agriculture, small business, housing, natural resources, public health. Everything that comes up that affects the stability of a rural community came up. The policy that continued to rise to the top in those meetings and those since then has been the issues of water. And I wanted to give the background to the committee to understand this is why our advisory committee took a position and wrote a letter to the governor and the agency asking for the state to take a long-range view in terms of long-range water planning. So we set about this last summer, and the governor wrote back to us in September indicating that this is one of the reasons that he wanted to include a long-range water investigation in his budget. And so the budget really supports the mission of the agency a lot more comprehensively in terms of finding long-term sustainability for Oregon's ecosystems, economy, and quality of life. And the Office of Rural Policy was very supportive of that, and that was the background behind the governor's position. Thank you.
Yes, Representative Burleigh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Azzamano, thank you for your comments this morning. I was curious if you could comment on why the policy option package 404, the groundwater studies of about $350,000 general fund, was not included in the governor's recommended budget. 403, the initiative, was. And I think these long-term studies are important, but the groundwater studies, something that we've done in the Deschutes and the Klamath Basins, have been very helpful, and it's a leverage, you know, $350,000 gets leveraged with the USGS to do these studies. Why was that not included in the GRB?
I was not involved in that part of the discussion so much as the part supporting the 404 piece, the water investigation. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you both.
Thank you
very much. Next up will be Scott Ashcombe and Jeff Stone.
Mr. Chairman, Scott Ashcombe with the Oregon Agricultural Alliance. We are a group of relatively large farm and nursery employers that use a lot of water. And so we have an interest in making sure that the Water Resource Department is adequately funded for the purpose of providing the kind of services that that we need in agriculture. We support the department's budget, and we intend to support a feed bill, which you may look at a little later date. We think that we basically have a policy that supports fee increases if they're reasonable and if they're commensurate with the cost that the agency incurs in providing the service. So we'll be supporting that fee bill, and because we think that really the department is right at the verge of pretty much recovering its cost of providing the service of processing water right applications. So with that said, I'll just leave it in your hands and say that we support adequately funding the department, support the budget, and we intend to support the support.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yes. First of all, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Ashcombe, for supporting the fee bill. And, as you know, we had extensive hearings in the Energy and Environment Committee. But I just want to, for the record, you said that it significantly covers your cost. My understanding is that it only covers 30% of the agency's cost to actually provide the service. So we are sort of maintaining a still not even coming close to covering half your cost. So I'm glad you support the fee bill, but this is a continual challenge for the agency, is that the fees haven't been able to keep up with the costs, and we're still only at 30%.
Mr. Chairman, may I respond to
Representative? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dingfelder, in many legislative sessions prior to this one. I have heard the department come before this subcommittee and in effect, make the case for what the agency costs are in processing a water right. And I've heard that estimate many, many times before this committee. And it might come in at 70% one session. It might come in at 50 another. It might come in at 30 another. It's very difficult to estimate that because of the vast range of different kinds of water right applications that people filed with the department and the difference in the kind of work that each one of those applications comes to. My testimony was that the department with the fee bill is approaching recovering its full costs. And I believe that to be true from my observation.
Thank you very much. Mr. Stone.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Jeff Stone. I'm the Director of Government Relations for the Oregon Association of Nurseries. I always get my plug in that we're a billion-dollar industry with a B. That's Columbia Sportswear big, and with our Christmas tree growers, that's annual sales that come back to the state. I'm testifying in support of HB 5050. The Water Resources Department, as you've heard from the commission member here earlier, has done an admirable job trying to keep up with increases in workload and demand over the water over the last decade, much of this work with less staff. It's important to bring the staffing level to light because many of the lack of resources has an effect on the success of my members doing business in Oregon. And meeting Oregon's long-term water supply needs is a top priority for the Nursery Association. Now, it can be demonstrated in a couple of ways, and I'm not going to read the whole thing that you have before you. I'm sure you're thanking me right now for that. First is the business decisions. Both acquiring new water rights and adapting to changes in water needs through transfers means that the department has to have enough resources so our growers can move forward and meet their business needs. And second, protecting existing rights. To have certainty in our business, we also need to depend on the department to protect our existing water rights, both through their Water Master Corps and through the efforts of better understanding surface and groundwater resources of the state. We have been on record before Senator Avakian's committee about Senate Bill 600. It's very similar to the Water Resources initiative that you have before you in this budget. We can't state emphatically enough that the long-term health and welfare of the nursery industry has a direct correlation to its supplied water. We do a good job, I think, as an industry in terms of trying to go towards conservation measures. We have a lot of folks who reuse water. We have growers who, at their own expense, try to limit the amount of water that they use, their energy that they use. So we think that we're in a position to be able to talk with you openly and honestly about the need not only for conservation, but for the supply of water. So with that, I will end my testimony and answer any questions that you may have.
Yes, Representative Barone.
Jeff, does the nursery support the fee bill?
Mr. Chair, Representative Garrard, yes. We have asked the Water Resources Department, which they have done very well, about how does the fee bill affect our growers at a very real level. And we feel that the fee bill, as currently constituted, would be acceptable to us.
Representative Plum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jeff, I think you've been in at least some of these same meetings I've been in related to specifically Willamette Valley, Measure 37 claims, Clackamas County, Marion County, Washington County. And I wonder if the association, especially since one of the key things you talked about was preserving existing rights, is aware and if they're concerned about the sort of way Water Resources is involved in that process, which from all appearances after hearing a few things, a few nights worth of testimony, seems to be after the exempt wells are in the ground in an area that's a problem area and it begins to interfere with senior water rights holders, that's when they can finally start getting involved.
Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, I know that Representative Dingfelder's committee is going to have a various work groups, not only on the exempt well issue, but also on measurement, which, I mean, all those things are interconnected in some way. We just had a meeting. It's fortuitous that you asked this. Last Friday, I had meetings with my growers who span the Measure 37 debate. We have those who adamantly oppose Measure 37. And we had those that have Measure 37 claims already on the books. And to say that the energy and level of debate was high would be an understatement. However, when you put out the map of the valley, it does grow concerning to us that if folks are able to just punch down a well without any notice or any type of effect on the surrounding, if it either impacts a current well person, because we already have to fortify our wells down to however many feet it is, and that has a real expense. So to answer your question, and I don't know if I'm doing a very good job of it, is to say that yes, we are concerned about the Measure 37 claims, although I don't believe that all of them would result in a new domestic well. But it is something that's significant enough if you look how it affects the agricultural land up and down the valley. It's not all in just one spot. It's all up and down through the ribbon of ag lands that are in this valley. So we are watching it very carefully. We look forward to working with our partners here, with our partners in the city and municipalities to try to get at a solution.
I'm growing.
Just to further that line of thinking, Jeff, would you prefer that a groundwater evaluation be made as part of the 37 process or left out of that process and put into the local process?
Mr. Chair, Representative Gardner, that's just a fantastic question, of which I don't have a ready answer for you, because I want to make sure. I don't have the magic bullet for you, Representative. However, I do think that having partners come together and talk with one another instead of at one another is a healthy beginning. And we are still struggling with it ourselves about what our position should be, because we want to come at these issues as a partner and have it be well-rounded. So I don't have an answer for you, but I'm happy to work with you to try to find it.
Thank you, Mr. Stone.
Thank you.
Next up is Phil Donovan and Rick George.
Good morning, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Phil Donovan. I'm here on behalf of the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. Headquartered in Northeast Oregon, the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla are the Umatilla, Cayuse, and Walla Walla tribes with an enrolled membership of approximately 2,500 members. We're here today to speak in support of the Water Resources Department budget and sound water planning. As you know, protection and recovery of the Columbia River and its tributaries, their salmon and fish runs, is both critically important from a cultural and from an economic perspective to the tribe. The protection and sustainability of Oregon's agriculture is also very important to our tribal government. Today, we want to speak specifically to two policy option packages. First off, one that was not included in the governor's recommended budget, but that's the restoration of $350,000 to support groundwater studies. The Confederated Tribes supports additional funding for studies in groundwater because the over-appropriation of surface waters has resulted in the increasing reliance upon groundwater. In the Umatilla Basin, not only are streams over-appropriated, but many areas are experiencing groundwater overdraft beyond natural recharge. There's growing recognition of the importance of groundwater in sustaining base stream flows and supporting riparian and aquatic ecosystems. The continued development of groundwater in excess of natural recharge will steadily reduce critical stream flows needed to restore and support the restored fisheries in the Umatilla River. Without adequate knowledge of sustainable groundwater supplies, the extent and recharge, continued issuance of groundwater rights puts the environment and the economy in the Umatilla Basin at risk of contentious competition for limited water supplies. We also want to speak today in support of the Water Supply Initiative. By funding the Water Supply Initiative, we believe this legislative session offers an opportunity to leverage federal investment in both the Umatilla and Walla Walla River basins. And with me today is Rick George, who's with the Natural Resources staff at the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation.
Thank you, Phil. Mr. Chair, Madam Vice Chair, members of the committee, my name is Rick George, and I'm a staff member with the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation, located near Pendleton, Oregon. Senator Nelson, hello from home.
How are you?
Thank you. I want to thank the committee for hearing this issue and for the honor of being here before you on behalf of the Umatilla Tribal Government. And I want the committee to know that the Umatilla Tribal Government appreciates the role, the relationship, and the partnership that the Oregon Water Resources Department and its director and its staff brings to the Umatilla Basin people. And I think that's a critical issue here, people and water resource management. They do a good job, and they do a good job with a lack of resources and a lack of staff. And I want to echo the commissioner's comments from a few minutes ago about the status of the department's role in water management in Oregon. They truly are in a mode of crisis management. They don't have the budget. They don't have the staff. They don't have the ability to monitor water use from any rivers in Oregon. And I also want to recognize the legislation offered by Vice Chair Dingfelder to require that water be metered in the state of Oregon. That's an absolutely critical mandate for water management in the state. I also want to recognize SB 600, introduced by Senator Nelson and referenced by Phil. We support that legislation, and we support a specific addition to the Water Resource Department's budget over and above the governor's requested budget. We fully support the governor's budget. We support the increase in staff that would come with that. We support the increase in resources. SB 600 includes the governor's recommended statewide water resource study. The Umatilla Tribal Government is requesting an additional $100,000 on top of the $900,000 that is in the governor's budget. And we request that respectfully for a very strategic and, we believe, in the best interest of Oregon reason. And that is that in the Umatilla Basin, I'm sure that most of you are aware, this is one of, if not the most successful stream flow restoration programs in the state and in the Columbia Basin. It's also the most successful salmon recovery project in the Columbia Basin. We're in the last stages of getting federal approval to initiate a large water resource study for the Umatilla Basin, coupled with a process to negotiate the tribe's water rights, to finally settle the water rights for the Umatilla Indian Reservation. We believe an investment specific to the Umatilla of $50,000 there will be a critical step toward showing state support and state investment for a future federally funded water supply project. So we're requesting an additional $50,000 go to the Umatilla for the Water Resources Department to participate and provide specific planning components for that federal water resource study in the Umatilla. We're also requesting a companion $50,000 to go to the Walla Walla Basin, which is a bi-state river. The state of Washington has already invested $400,000 in that study. We're asking Oregon to invest $50,000 in that study, again to show the state investment and what will really be necessary to get a federal water supply project out of Congress. State investment, tangible showing of state investment, and obviously tribal investment there is critical in addition. We're also wanting to recognize the fact that in addition to exploring storage as a venue for water resource management, as consistent with the governor's requested budget, consistent with SB 600. Water exchange projects need to be specifically referenced, funded, and moved forward. It was a water exchange project in the Umatilla Basin that resulted in the stream flow restoration. A water exchange project is part of this new federal water supply study that will be initiated here within just the next couple of days, if in fact the Department of Interior hasn't already approved that study. And as Phil indicated, the tribal government supports the addition of the $350,000 that was requested by the department for groundwater studies. As you know, the Umatilla Basin is the host of a majority of the critical groundwater areas in the state of Oregon. More resources devoted to groundwater and its relationship to surface water management are critical, and we support the addition of those funds back into the Water Resources Department's budget. With that, I will close. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here on behalf of the Umatilla Tribal Government, and we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Representative Burling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rick, thanks for coming all the way out here today to make your comments. I appreciate that very much. Would you please elaborate a little bit on this water exchange? What is it? Where is it missing? Where is it being included? I didn't quite pick up on all that.
Sure. Mr. Chair, Representative Burley, the water exchange is a project that simply allows water to be used by irrigation districts in the Umatilla Basin, whereby they, under state water law, they exchange the source of the supply of that water. In the Umatilla, the federal government constructed pumps in the Columbia River and then hooked those water supply pumps up to the existing three out of four irrigation districts, so that for every bucket of water the irrigation districts do not take out of the Umatilla River and leave in the Umatilla River, they are pumped a bucket out of the Columbia River. So it's simply an exchange of water supply source done under state law and managed so that they don't take any more water than they would have under their existing rights from the Umatilla River. That exchange then allows the water to stay in the Umatilla River, resulting in the restoration of stream flows. Three out of four irrigation districts were exchanged under a 1988 congressional act, the Umatilla Basin Project Act. That project is completed. Westland Irrigation District is the fourth district that was not included in that exchange, and we're working with the federal government now to look at a new exchange with Westland, which is about 50% of the Umatilla River stream flows in total, some of it from stored water, some of it from natural flows. And that project will be a centerpiece of this new federal water supply study that we're asking Oregon to invest in.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Rick, I guess maybe I misunderstood you. I thought you were talking about the POP Policy Option Package 403, which is the conservation study and Senate Bill 600. And it was in that context that you said that you, I think I heard you say, you'd like to see those include water exchange. Did I catch that correctly?
That's correct. Yeah.
So, given then your description of what's happened today, where it's been congressional act that has led to these exchanges, what would we be trying to do under Senate Bill 600, for example, with water exchange? What would the state be doing? How would we be a factor in that?
Chair Devlin, Representative Burley, the state would invest through water supply studies completed by the Water Resources Department to contribute information to the federal study. I think it's really important to recognize that the best information from a water resources planning perspective comes from local sources, irrigation district information, tribal government information, state water resources department studies that compile that information and rely upon it. That information then would be fed into the federal study to contribute to the integrity of the federal study and to help guide the federal study toward what really would be best for the Umatilla Basin and the state of Oregon as far as water supply development for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rick, thank you also for being here. Appreciate it. I know it's a long trek for you to come out. Regarding the 50,000 that you were talking about, and I'm assuming this is for that last phase of the Umatilla project, I think what you call the phase three, I have two questions for you. What would that 50,000 buy us, number one? And then two, there's been discussion about a plan, the Oasis plan, and how does that fit in with the third phase of this Umatilla project? Because I imagine, I don't know if they're looking at taking water out at the same time or how that would work as far as competing demands for that resource.
Yes. Chair Devlin, Vice Chair Dingfelder. What the $50,000 would buy Oregon is a couple of real specific things. One is an investment, and this is looking to the future. This is an investment in a water supply project that is in its infancy in the study process. So it shows that Oregon is supportive of and investing in the future of water supply development and management. That's number one. Number two, what it does is allows the agency that I think is the closest to and has the most effective partnership with the irrigation districts in the Umatilla Basin, the tribal government, and other water resource users to study a very specific component of this larger federal water supply study process and provide technical information about water resource needs, what the benefits of a new exchange or potentially another project would be to the Umatilla Basin, to Westland Irrigation District, to the goal of in-stream flow restoration and salmon recovery. So it would buy a very focused piece of the federal water supply study from the state of Oregon with active and very close involvement and input from the tribes and from the irrigation districts to then input that information into the federal water supply study. So that's number one. Number two, relative to what has been termed the proposed Oasis project, there really is no relationship between the two. Our understanding, the tribal government's understanding, is that the Oasis project does not reference the tribe whatsoever. It doesn't reference phase three of the Umatilla Basin project. It doesn't reference salmon recovery or in-stream flow restoration. So there's no direct reference between the two. I actually think the way that proposed legislation is written, there would be conflicts between the restoration of salmon and the goals of restoring stream flow and what the Umatilla Basin project has always been focused on and the Umatilla Basin itself has always been focused on, and that is meeting the needs of both agriculture, the tribes, salmon recovery, and in-stream flow restoration at the same time instead of pitting one against the other. You're welcome.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Rick, for coming out. We've had a lot of discussions about this. And just for the committee's information, the tribe has been part of a critical groundwater study, and I think they have a 50-year plan available.
That's correct.
That would be right. I mean, so that group has been meeting for 2 or 3 years, and they do have some really pretty significant things going on. I think Rick's comments about doing it at a local level and trying to solve the problem is really just very crucial. And as far as Oasis projects, we'll just have to see how the legislative process works that out. But I do appreciate all the good work. The tribe has just been wonderful about bringing their folks and being part of that process. And so I think that's really a significant step forward in our particular area. One question I might have is, I get a lot of my information from the Water Resource Department about supply of water. Does the tribe's information jibe with the Department of Resources, or do you have some conflicts there?
Chair Devlin, Senator Nelson, to my knowledge, I'm sure that there are occasions when the Water Resources Department and the tribe's own Water Resources Department, we have our own technical staff and department, and I'm sure there are times when we're not in lockstep agreement. I think, though, that the majority of time, and I think this is actually a standout relationship within the country, the majority of the time, the tribes, both governmental policies and its technical information and that of the Oregon Water Resources Department are pretty darn closely aligned. And I think relative to the restoration of stream flows in the Umatilla River Basin and the protection and restoration of stream flows in the Columbia, coupled with the need to plan for future water development, those are policies that are very closely aligned between the tribal government and the state of Oregon through the Water Resources Department.
There's one further question. Yes. I'll follow up on Representative Burley's question on the water exchange. When the exchange of water from the Columbia to the Umatilla, is that pumping through all the summer months, which is always a conflict?
Chair Devlin, Senator Nelson, that's an excellent question, and I think that question really, the answer to that question really exemplifies the difference between an Oasis kind of project versus the Umatilla Basin project. The Umatilla Basin project exchange results in protection of Columbia River flows because it results in no net loss to the Columbia River, and it does so as such. For every bucket that's pumped out of the Columbia River, a bucket is left in the Umatilla, which then drains directly back into the Columbia River, virtually at the same source from which it was pumped. So the project, and it was designed to be this way, it's also designed to be consistent with tribal policy. The project is consistent with the protection of Columbia River flows in those critical summer months, as you mentioned. And it's consistent with the goal of recovering salmon in a basin where salmon had been extinct for almost 100 years, that being the Umatilla Basin. So it really is a model project of protecting agricultural water use and the ag economy in the basin, and at the same time, in a very creative way, restoring stream flows and recovering salmon to get back to that issue which is so important to the tribes as well as Oregon, and that is bringing salmon back to places where they really should be and should have been the whole time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The last one was about 20 minutes, so we have to be. Anita Winkler and Amanda Rich. And Ms. Winkler, I don't normally do this, but under the mark for position, it either says 50-50 or it says so-so. I can't read which one it says, but it probably has the same meaning.
Chair Devlin and members of the committee, I'm Anita Winkler here on behalf of the Oregon Water Resources Congress and also on behalf of a coalition of stakeholders from the Water Resources Department. And I'll start this with, not only can you not read my writing there, but it's been that kind of a morning. I meant the bill 50-50. We were testifying on the budget bill, not any qualification of our support. But it gets even better. You will also see I marked that we had written testimony, and I do, and there's a large stack of it, but I finished work on it yesterday and emailed it to myself at the office and emailed the unedited version. So we will deliver the edited, cleaned-up version to you later this afternoon. But sometimes Monday mornings just are Monday mornings. With me is Amanda Rich with the Special Districts Association of Oregon. Behind me are several other people. This coalition is Oregon Water Resources Congress, the League of Oregon Cities, Special Districts Association of Oregon, the Oregon Farm Bureau, the Oregon Association of Nurseries, and Water Watch of Oregon. And it doesn't take much thinking to realize that that can make pretty strange bedfellows in the water world. This is the second time this group has come together to look at the department's budget, and it's always a real treat to have a group with such diverse interests come together in very, and I believe me, very short, like 30-minute discussions and unite unanimously behind our comments. So to all of them, our thank you, and to all of you, we hope that we've saved you some time by coming together. We are here to support the department's budget, not 50-50, but 100%.
Okay.
To make that real clear up front. We recognize that last session the legislature, the Ways and Means Committee and the legislature really did a Herculean effort to try and restore part of the cuts that the department had had earlier in prior budgets. You heard a lot about that during the department's testimony, and I'm not going to belabor the point here other than to say while we appreciate what they did, it's never enough, almost. I also think it's interesting that a group of regulated entities, if you will, for a department come forward and say, you're not giving them enough money to regulate us as much as we need to be regulated in some ways, and that's really almost how this can be read. We remain deeply concerned about the department's ability to regulate this water resource, and we recognize in that regulation it means they regulate our members as well. excuse me. Having said all of that, we have two things that we'd like to see added to the budget. So maybe it's only a 95% support, and we really want 105.
No, it's 100 plus. Yeah.
There, and we really want 105%. So I'm going to talk about one of them, and Amanda's going to handle the other one. But the first one relates to water rights certificates. You heard from the department that over the last few years they have made tremendous strides in reducing the backlog of transfer applications and getting that processed. We need to do the same thing to the backlog in getting water rights certificates issued. The water right applications, in whatever form they come in, are being processed, remaining at the permit stage with a backlog of as much as 10 years to get them into certificates. In the water world, the importance of that is that you can't do anything with the permit. Once you have a permit, you can use it on the land that's designated in the permit, but you can't transfer it. You can't move it anywhere. You can't change the place of use, the nature of use, anything else. It's just kind of in this limbo situation. And in a state that is as fluid in its development and the changing nature of this state, that's just very dangerous. We've got a huge resource that we all need to use. We need to be able to maximize what we have, and we're stuck. We simply can't make that change. So we're asking for two positions for the department to get that backlog processed and get those water rights certificated so we can manage the water the way it needs to be managed in the state for the full benefit. For the record, again, I'm Amanda Rich with the Special Districts Association of Oregon, and it's a great pleasure to testify on behalf of this coalition. This has been a great group to work with, as Anita mentioned, very diverse interests, but all coming together in unanimous support of the Water Resources Department existing governor's recommended budget, and then also these two extra packages that we're talking to you about today. And the second addition to the budget we'd like to support is the, you heard it mentioned earlier, Representative Burley mentioned the policy option package on groundwater studies. You can't reach out an arm in this building and not touch a conversation about groundwater and the importance of managing that resource and understanding how much we have and how additional uses of that resource are impacting existing rights, both groundwater and surface water rights. And so we believe it's absolutely critical that we infuse some money into the department to increase their ability to do these studies on groundwater and to respond, frankly, to the hue and cry across the building about the management of that resource. So with that, we would just thank you very much for your time and take any questions.
Any questions for Ms. Winkler and Ms. Rich? Representative Burley.
Yeah, this is a look. I have a question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Anita, I'm trying to put my finger on your comment about addressing the backlog to get permits certificated. Is that a policy option package, or is that just buried in the budget we need to try and redirect some dollars to?
I don't know it's in the package that you have there. I know it was something the department considered early on, and it was not included in the governor's budget. So I doubt that it's in your package there, but I'll defer to is that correct?
So may I, just for clarification, Mr. Chair, was it a policy option package not included in the governor's recommended budget?
Mr. Ward, if you'd like to come forward and just to identify yourself for the record. And
Mr. Chair, quickly, Phil Ward for the record with the Water Resources Department. Representative Burley,
That was a policy option package the department considered and submitted for the budget, the governor's consideration. It was not made a part of the governor's recommended budget, however.
Thank you.
That's the total call?
Yep. $276,000.
Well, does it have a POP number?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the agency request budget included policy option package 164, certificates backlog reduction, that requested two FTE for a total of $276,228 general fund. That was not included in the governor's budget.
If you'd like to come back.
Maybe I'm done.
Okay. Any additional questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you. I was.
Mr. Smith and Mr. Riggs.
No, Mr. Wesson.
No.
I don't think you should have been.
Yes.
No one's getting old. So.
Neither of them. Or Mr. Thompson or Mr. Yuzi either. Mr. Riggs.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Doug Riggs, here representing the Central Oregon Cities Organization. And I'm here briefly to say, me too. Since 1999, we've worked closely with other interests in the Deschutes Basin to craft a thoughtful management plan for water use in our area. You and the legislature worked very closely with us in 1999, and 2001, and 2003, and 2005, passed five statutes that collectively have given us all a great deal more flexibility and tools to better manage our limited water resources in the basin. And the program has been very successful. To make one point, we've increased flows in the middle of the chutes as a result of this series of packages by five times, from about 25 CFS to about 135 CFS in the basin. Pretty remarkable in a very short period of time. But, of course, to make all this work, we need our partners at WRD to help review, approve, and oversee the process. And this adequate staffing for WRD is essential to make this whole program work. And the department has been an excellent, if somewhat understaffed, agency to work with. And as a result, we strongly support their budget. We would support the additional funding for the two FTE that we just talked about. And we'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Mr. Smith, and then we'll go to questions.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jerry Schmidt. I'm here today representing the Oregon Groundwater Association. We are also supportive of the budget. I did pass out a piece of material to you about one of our concerns with the groundwater portion of the budget. Historically, the Water Resources Department has maintained a observation well network throughout the state. The purpose of this network is to give the department a on-the-ground look at what's happening with our underground aquifers. If in fact over a period of long time is our aquifer stable, are they declining, are they increasing? Some of this information has been in the system over 40 years, close to 50 years in some instances. This program was started by the USGS, later to taken over by the department. I think the original program had around 800 observation wells. It has now decreased to, in later years, to around 350. I asked the department for a breakout from their data processing center, because when you go onto their website, it lists over 3,000 individual wells in their observation well network. But that includes all the wells. It includes wells that people are required by permit to report. So they broke out a subset for me, and there is actually 251 in the well network. And our issue is that we need to take a stronger look at this particular area and boost that observation well network. It's a rather minor way of gathering information. realize that the computer studies are very complicated. They are very labor-intensive. They cost a lot of money. These also cost money, but it's a lot less labor-intensive. The department actually monitors this program. Their people take the water level measurements so we can depend on their data. That's one of the issues that my association has. We're scientists. A lot of the folks are hydrogeologists. They depend heavily on data. So one of the things that they like to see is to make sure that all the variables are covered, and they rely heavily on some of this data that the department has gathered. So with that, that's my only comment, is to try and, realizing that this committee and other budget committees are severely strapped when it comes to increasing budgets and giving more money. I know that you've been given directives of trying to stabilize agencies' budgets. We would all like to see, interest groups would all like to see different areas of the budget increased. I know that there's a finite amount of money. Our point here is trying to get a little bigger bang for your dollar, and this particular area of the budget could give you a fairly good bang for the buck. So with that, I'll conclude my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a question for Jerry, and we've had this conversation offline, but in a perfect world, we would be able to fund, you know, expansion of the state observation well net system and additional groundwater supplies that include modeling for looking at future availability. And given that, you know, we have a limited resource, could you talk about what you think would be more beneficial as far as protecting and planning for our limited groundwater supply? Would it be expanding our existing well net information, or looking at doing more modeling and groundwater if we had to make a choice?
Mr. Chair, Madam Vice Chair, the choice that, given the limited resources, I think our association would strongly support using the present observation well network and expanding it. The advantage there is that it's not a guess, it's not a computer model, it's actual factual data. So what we can rely on there is that I know the department has identified particular areas of concern. We've had a work group at your direction trying to look at some of the measurement and other issues. The department wrote, testified before us that they have been working for about 6 years on a system that will give various portions of the state a little bit better look at what's going on. I think you can use a increased observation well network in conjunction with that kind of identification of areas of concern. I don't like to use areas, that has a statutory significance, but significant areas that you would like to observe. The increased observation wells would give you a better picture of what factually is occurring. And my concern is that we need to do this now, because the value of observation wells is a long-term look at something. If we're only seeing 2 points on a graph, we don't gather much information. But if we're seeing a very sophisticated look at long-term trends, we can see what's happening. So I guess the short answer to that is, given the limited amount of resources, we would probably prefer an expansion of the observation well network. Thank you.
Thank you both very much. Final person up is Mr. Moskowitz.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is David Moskowitz, here today on behalf of Water Watch of Oregon. Water Watch is largely in support of the water resources budget for the next biennium. And we have been working closely with both the department and other water user groups to try to present a strong unified front to promote the continued funding and increase in funding in this agency. I represent a number of environmental groups who have interests across the board on natural resources, and as we look at natural resource agencies statewide, two agencies are really deserving of increases in the budget beyond the governor's recommended budget. And first would be DEQ, and the second would be water resources. So we're pleased to be here today to speak in support of the budget. Our testimony is a tad bit lengthy. I'm going to try to be very brief in recognition of your time. And first, I'd like to say that WaterWatch would like to see the Water Resources Department's field capacity maintained or increased. It's essential that the department is able to have the people on the ground in these various basins across the state to be able to understand how the water is being used, to fully understand it, to manage it, to regulate existing uses both out of stream as well as in stream. And because of that, we are very supportive of the field capacity budget packages. So that's POP 303, 401, 304, as well as continued funding of the hydrographics team, which prepares stream flow, reservoir, and precipitation data for publications. Also, there's one package that was not in the governor's recommended budget, and that is the groundwater investigations POP, which is 404. And I think a number of speakers before me have talked about the heightened importance and focus on groundwater, given some of the pressures. As you probably are aware, most surface water flows in Oregon are fully allocated or over-allocated. Everybody who needs water in Oregon is looking towards groundwater. And these two resources are very, very closely linked physically, scientifically. We'd like to see the groundwater investigations policy package 404 placed back into the budget. It's just an absolute necessity to be able to come up with the right information and manage this critical resource for the state. And part of the balance of coming to grips or coming to a full understanding of how we're using our current water and how the current uses are meeting the needs of existing users and in-stream flows is also studying what does the future bring. That is why WaterWatch has been very supportive to almost 100% level of the Water Conservation and Supply Initiative. And that is a very important study. Director Ward has indicated that Oregon is one of few states in the West that hasn't done that kind of comprehensive analysis. Just for to make sure our position is clear, because there's the budget package on that study, and there also is Senate Bill 600, which includes a lot of those same elements. However, it has some specific pieces of study for the Columbia Basin. We'd like to make sure that this Water Resources Department study in the budget package is really the one that the legislature chooses to try to pass, because it has a broader effect statewide. The Columbia Basin and all the basins in Senator Nelson's district are certainly important, but they're not the only basins that are facing water supply crises and where there's a real need to increase our understanding so we know the future needs, our future opportunities for conservation, and future supply possibilities. I would like to point out just this is one of the myths that's out there about water use, that with increasing population and increasing development and out-of-stream water use, the projection is that you're going to use more water as population grows. The city of Seattle has increased its population between 1975 and 1995, 400,000 people. And yet its water use has decreased to 1964 levels, and that's for a lot of reasons. There's been changes in the types of appliances and utilities that people use. There's been infill and more dense development, so you have less lawn watering. But it also reflects people's changing behaviors through drought and water shortages and through education efforts of the water utilities in the Seattle area. And this is playing out also in Portland and places like Bend and Central Oregon. So it's important to keep in mind that just because population growth is growing, that our water use is going to grow at the same rate. It's not proven to be the case. So we need to approach storage and conservation carefully. I think at this point I'm going to stop, and I'm very happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions?
Dick, could you talk a little bit about, you have a note in here, your last paragraph, about the policy option package 137. Could you maybe expand on that a little bit?
Well, the ground, this was mentioned by a previous speaker. The groundwater registration package has essentially creates a staff person to manage transfers where someone has a groundwater right and they want to be able to transfer to a different use. And WaterWatch's position is that these groundwater transfers, they ought to get into the transfer line. There's a line of people waiting to transfer their rights at Water Resources. And there's a set group of staff at Water Resources to handle those. The users who want to change their groundwater use should get in the same transfer line. And that's our belief, that it's a place where you could actually save a little money. But the belief is generally that water should be treated just like a surface water transfer.
And this might be a better question for the director, actually. But so right now there's the transfer, you get in the queue, like you said, for the transfer, whether it's a water right or a groundwater right, it goes through the same process. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So the question would be, and I'm not sure if you can answer this, David, or for the director, but we passed, was it the receipts authority, is that two sessions ago now, for an expedited process, somebody wants to pay more, then they basically get to the front of the queue. And there was a lot of discussion and debate about that two sessions ago, and I think the votes were split on that. So I guess I'm curious about if that is already in place, and I think this is probably more appropriate for the director than, can't somebody who wants to expedite their groundwater transfer use that process as well?
If someone from the department will come forward.
Chair Devlin, Representative Dingfelder, I don't know the answer to that. I'd like to get back to you, but certainly yield the...
I think part of our testimony in an earlier session, please come forward, one of you testify, was that... we were actually authorizing those positions, or maybe authorizing those positions this time, based on the fact we finally have enough revenue coming in from people that want to expedite to actually...
Mr. Chair, I provided my designated.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Debbie Colbert with the Water Resources Department. And that policy option package is other fund funded, and it's supported from fees associated with those modifications to groundwater registrations. And just to remind you, that was a new authority that our commission received last session that allowed the commission to accept applications that would propose changes to groundwater registrations. And these are uses of groundwater that predate the 1955 groundwater code and have not been adjudicated. So we have about 4,000 of these statewide, mostly in the northwest and southwest regions of the state. The commission last session got authority to develop rules so that people could apply to make certain changes to these uses. And you also considered recently House Bill 5051, which was ratification of the fees associated with those rules. And this is a half of a position to help process those applications. And also, just to follow up on the receipts authority, we are going to be allowing folks to use that process to expedite their groundwater modifications. But at least initially, our staff are having to basically develop the application process, the early review materials, the structure that we'll be using internally for looking at impacts to other groundwater uses and surface water and scenic waterway flows.
Clarification.
Yeah,
it's
she answered
it.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you both very much.
I think I know that look because I see it in my committee every
thank
day.
Thank you. Always full of questions.
No, it's a.
I'm trying. Still trying to understand this. These groundwater registrations predate Oregon's water law, so they have to be modified to actually conform to the permit. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative, these are not adjudicated. These are groundwater uses that haven't been adjudicated, and prior to this statutory authority last session, people that had those uses established couldn't make any changes. So, for example, if their well failed, technically, there was no process for them to come in and drill a new well at a new location. So we now have the authority to recognize those kinds of modifications to those existing but not yet adjudicated rights. So they don't actually have any certificated use or decreed use at this time.
Well, in the interest of time, Mr. Chair, I'm going to ask that perhaps I have this conversation offline, but I would, if I may, like to ask, because what we heard earlier was this policy option package 164 was not included, which helps to certificate permits so we can get them into the transfer queue. And if this policy option package 137 also affects how we can get these things into the queue, which one would be a higher priority? Which one would get us the bigger bang for the buck to get these things into the transfer queue?
Mr. Chair, Representative, I could also just note that the certificate positions that have been discussed as additions to the governor's recommended budget, those would be general fund dollars, and the groundwater registration policy option package, that's a other fund. So those are the fees associated with people applying to the department to make those modifications.
Follow up. And I understand that, Debbie, and thanks for that clarification. But we've heard now from several witnesses from the Umatilla Tribe and from Water Watch how important, and from the coalition, about how important the ability is to transfer these water rights. And I'm just trying to figure out what's the best way to spend our dollars to make that as expeditious as we possibly can.
Debbie, I think this is my cue.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Phil Ward with the department. And if I may, to Representative Burley's question. Representative, I think it's not a one or the other kind of situation. We have a significant certificate backlog that we're going to continue to work on with the resources that we have available, including, as Representative Dingfelder has noted, the reimbursement authority piece that allows people who are in a real bind to move ahead in the queue and pay the full freight. This piece is another piece of the equation. It relates only to groundwater rights. It relates only to situations where people assert they have a right to use groundwater that existed before 1955. And so in this small subset, which doesn't affect the broader universe of the certificate backlog at this juncture, but in this small subset where people, as Debbie mentioned, don't have an adjudicated water right to date, we need to put a mechanism in place so that in the event of an emergency, Representative Clem's well goes dry, he has the opportunity to move that right with its priority date under the supervision of the department, so it protects his right to use water if it's ultimately adjudicated in his favor.
Okay, thank you.
Anything additional? Thank you both very much. At this particular point, I want to thank everyone for being here. Thank Mr. Ward and his staff for an excellent presentation. We will be coming back to this budget hopefully in a few weeks. I can promise you two things. One, it will not be as good as many of you has hoped for, and two, it will not be as bad as many of you fear.
I'm sure that makes him a really good feeling, Mr. Chair.
Does that mean it's 50-50?
Yeah.
So-so. With that, we are adjourned.